U.S. is to regain leadership in space exploration, it must make a strong commitment to specific goals. According to the report, such goals should include space missions to study our own planet, to more actively support the exploration of the solar system, to place a permanent outpost on the moon, and to send people to Mars. For June 18th, that's Stardate. Today's show was written by Diana Hadley. Stardate is a production of the McDonald Observatory. We're at the University of Texas at Austin. Our zip code, 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in
changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Ring damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
And that's about enough of that, eh? Okay. The program is Brain Damage here on WUSB in Stony Brook, where it's 10 minutes after 10 o'clock. And my name is Eric Corley here with Jim Weiner. Say hello, Jim. Well, if Jim is saying hello, then he's not coming through on the air, unfortunately. Well, those things happen sometimes. Are you saying hello, Jim? Well, I heard the volume go up there for a second.
I'm sorry.
There you are. Okay, I just asked you to say hello.
Oh, hello.
Okay, you can go back to what you were doing.
Okay, thank you.
This is a program that will be going on for the next 2 hours, a call-in program. You can call up at 632-6901 and give us your opinions on what we will be talking about tonight. The subject we're going to be talking about tonight is a rather serious one, especially for us here at the radio station. In fact, that's a serious one for people at any radio station. The subject is censorship and how it affects programming, how it affects what you listen to, and how it eventually affects the records you buy and perhaps even the books you read. So if you have comments about that, feel free to give us a call at 632-6901. Now, this is one of those days where things just have not been going right. We were supposed to have a few people up here to discuss this with us, but events of nature, which I guess are kind of prophesied somewhere in the great Nostradamus satanic ritual somewhere along the lines, it just didn't work out, and the people just are not here. But we had an idea to play an interesting record, the Jello Biafra record. Jello Biafra, of course, from the Dead Kennedys, a band which many people kind of recoil in horror when they hear the name, but they kind of get attracted to the speakers when the music starts playing. Anyway, Jello Biafra, about a year and a half ago, I suppose, I'm not exactly sure what the date was, he was charged with a couple of other members of his band. He was charged with distributing pornography in the form of a poster that came in one of the records. The poster had kind of a nudity scene, I guess you would call it, and some would say an artistic statement, some would say not an artistic statement, but in any event, the authorities that raided his apartment trying to find the source of this quote-unquote obscenity, they thought it was something worth sending him to jail over. Not that he ever got sent to jail, but he was threatened with that, had to go through a long, arduous trial process, eventually was found not guilty of any such thing. He came to speak at Stony Brook, in fact, and what I was going to do was play aside from his record. He's got a two-album set. Unfortunately, I can't find it anywhere in the station. We don't believe in the alphabet here, you see. We believe in some other bizarre character set, which I'm not quite sure I understand. If anyone, as unprofessional as this sounds, if anyone out there who works on the radio station knows where the Jello Biafra album is, I implore you to either call up or come by and find it, or if you have one, come by and find it, or come by and bring it, or even if we have a copy of the Jello Biafra at Stony Brook show, that would certainly do, because He puts the whole thing into perspective, I think, in a much better way than I possibly could. Jim, you're now in the studio. Is there a reason for this?
Yes.
You left your little transistor radio in here.
No,
you're walking down the hallway and you want to hear what...
Well, I don't know how convoluted an explanation I should give. Is this my microphone on?
It seems to be. Oh, let me test it.
Oh.
Yes,
yeah,
it's on.
Yes, it is. One of the... I have to let one of our other staff members into the building.
Only let them in if they know where the Jello Biafra record is.
Well...
Or if they can produce one.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. Okay. Are they at the door right now? Because I don't want to keep people waiting.
No, but I realize since I might have to wait a little bit, I ought to take the little transistor radio with me we keep in the studio so that I could listen to the progress of the program.
Okay,
so
I
wouldn't just be walking in disoriented as I did before and saying distractedly, hello, like I did before.
Okay, well, you do just that then, and we'll see you back here as soon as possible. Okay, now our number again is 632-6901. I can't help but notice that the office line is ringing. I hope somebody picks that up because we can't pick that up on the air. So if someone could pick up that line, maybe they have an answer for us. Don't know if my voice is getting out there. Can someone pick up the phone? Thank you. Very unprofessional we sound tonight, but that's what non-commercial radio, that's what regular radio should be, to a degree anyway. There's a point where no one's answering the phone. Well, let's see. What can we do about this? Is anyone in the studios? Am I here all by myself? I guess I am. Oh, somebody got it. Okay, good. Don't have to worry. 632-6901 is our phone number. But as I was saying, the Jello Biafra bit, he really puts it into perspective because he has been through this whole ordeal of censorship and fighting the PMRC. Now, what you may ask is the PMRC. That is... a group that has been around, I guess, for a couple of years now, the Parents Music Resource Center. And a couple of people that have been fighting what the conclusions of this group are, a couple of those people are Frank Zappa and Jello Biafra, who have been fighting the allegations that rock music can damage people growing up these days. It's something that has been coming under increasing attack by this committee of, a lot of them are made up of senators' wives, strangely enough. Now, I have a videotape. Unfortunately, I cannot show this videotape on the radio, but I can read the back of the videotape. It's called Rising to the Challenge, Rock Music. If there are abuses, what are they, and how serious can they be? Through the combined research of the Parents Music Resource Center and Teen Vision, the themes of aggressive rebellion, drug-alcohol abuse, explicit sex, the occult, and violence found in some of today's music are examined in this eye-opening video. 30 minutes of carefully documented evidence, sure to change the way you and your children listen to music. And basically what they do in this 30 minutes is show you all kinds of videos, all kinds of examples of how obscenity is used, and how worshiping the devil, in big quotes there, is popular in today's music, especially the heavy metal kind, which incidentally you can hear on this station in about, about 5 hours or so, something like that. And what else? Obscenity, explicit sex. They show all kinds of examples, and they use all kinds of filthy language themselves. Now, the controversy comes from what to do at this point. Sure, all that stuff is there. There is nasty language. There is all kinds of degradation of people and violence and all that kind of thing. But what should be done about it? Should there be some kind of censorship? Should there be some kind of record rating system? That's where the controversy stems. And that's where it starts to affect radio stations like WUSB and non-commercial stations all across the country, and in fact, all across the world. So that's pretty much what we are talking about tonight. Like, how should we go about programming material that may be offensive to some and may not be offensive to some? To continue what's on the back of this videotape, a couple of quotes telling us how important this is. A powerful educational video which concurs totally with my National Network investigative findings on the occult, S&M, explicit sex, and suicide, a must for every parent. That was Kenneth Wooden, former ABC News 2020 reporter. Rising to the challenge has the potential to raise consciousness in all areas of society about what passes for harmless entertainment in this culture. Harriet Koskoff, public television producer. And finally, we researched this issue and concur with the conclusions of this documentary, Vital Information for All Parents, William W. McConnell, chairman, the President's Child Safety Partnership. And there is a warning on the back. Warning, the contents of this video may be very shocking. The producers apologize for the offensive and explicit material contained therein, but strongly believe that it is imperative for parents to examine what is available to young children. This video was designed for adults. Please review before sharing with youth. The video includes Madonna, Prince, Wasp, Motley Crue, Rolling Stones, Ozzy, meaning Ozzy Osbourne, David Lee Roth, Twisted Sister from Long Island, Venom, Dead Kennedys, Poison, and Judas Priest. So that's an idea of the bands that they find offensive, that they find dangerous, and that they really want to prevent not only from being played on the radio, not that they're played all that much on the radio as it is, and I don't mean people like Prince, I'm talking about bands like the Dead Kennedys. You won't hear them very often on the radio. Not only do they want to ban them from the radio waves, they want to put some kind of a record label system into effect. Something like O for occult and X for explicit sex and all kinds of things like that. Now, is there a danger? Is there something wrong with that? And I'd especially like to hear from people that that are listening to this kind of music. Do you listen to this music and do you feel changed by it? Does it tell you what to do? Does it tell you how to live your life? Have you been damaged by this music? Have you wanted to worship the devil because of this music? That's the kind of thing we need to know before we can go ahead and set some kind of a policy about how we are going to deal with this this increasingly controversial matter, because it is hitting close to home. The PMRC is strengthening its hold. These senators' wives have really got it together. They've learned quite a bit from their husbands as far as how to organize. And what's really kind of scary about the whole thing is that they're funded by the religious right. So let's give our listeners a chance to speak out on this now. Our number is 632-6901. Jim, perhaps you know... Jim's on the phone. Okay. I'm not sure if this call wants to be on the air, but we'll find out in a second. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Sandra Goldberger.
Oh, you do want to be on the air then, I assume. Okay, you are on hold. Okay, are we screening calls? Is that what we're doing? Hi, Jim, are you there?
Yes.
Are we screening calls?
When you say screening, you mean...
Picking up before they... we usually just let them ring and we just
usually
pick them on the air.
Usually, this came in a little earlier, so I didn't know if it was
okay.
A show or not.
Oh, so. Okay, I know this is another call on hold.
Yeah,
but,
it's Andrew Goldberger.
Okay, we got you there. Now, how old are you, Andrew?
I'm 11.
You're 11. Now, you're probably the best person to talk to about this kind of thing right now.
That's why I called in.
Okay. Well, of course, you always call in, but
yeah.
we won't discuss that now. What kind of music do you listen to?
All sorts. I listen to some hard rock, some soft. I listen to... I just bought a cassette now. Weird Al Yankovic.
Uh-huh.
That's a good thing to talk about. I mean, his music...
Well, that's more a parody of just about everything else. Do you listen to any kind of, say, heavy metal with all kinds of blood dripping all over the place and things like that?
No, but I know a couple of kids who do, and I know them very well.
Uh-huh. Do you think it affects the way that they live their lives?
Definitely. I know kids who like them so much, and they had earrings, one big one and the other, he didn't have an earring.
Uh-huh.
Got his ears pierced behind his mother's back. And now he puts on the earrings in school and wears them in school.
Well, now, that's something that I think has been going on for centuries now. Has anything a little bit more radical happened? Have they been maybe sacrificing goats in the backyard of the school or something like that?
No, they have been getting into... It affects their, like, rowdiness,
uh-huh.
how they fight a lot.
Uh-huh.
They, they throw papers at in paper airplanes at the teacher. Yeah.
The way that I look at this, I see the violence, and there is admittedly violence in rock and roll. There is admittedly a lot of sex in rock and roll. I see it as a kind of a release, a controlled release, if you will, I guess.
But like, say that new album by Prince. Did you see the cover of it?
No, but I heard about it. I heard there's some kind of controversy there.
There's a guy naked, and they have to put tape over it. Uh-huh. Prince naked.
That's nothing new, though. John Lennon put out an album where he was naked on the front cover, and they had to put a paper bag over it.
I know.
Where was the PMRC then? You know, it didn't, you know, I think the youth got through that okay.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes it's at concerts. I've seen videos of concerts.
Uh-huh.
I mean, let's see. Bon Jovi does it a lot.
Uh-huh.
Also, in like, it's not only radio.
Well, let me just ask you.
Are you talking about radio or just all around?
Pretty much all around, but it does make it to radio, and this radio station certainly plays a much broader scope of the music than any other commercial station.
I've heard some programs with really hard rock.
Uh-huh.
But not on this station, but, you know, like, let's see, Sunday. Well, this is a really bad station for censorship because you do a lot of live programs.
Uh huh.
So.
Well, it's not so much the live programs that we're experiencing the conflicts on. It's the music. It's the music. Now, can we play a song like John Lennon's Working Class Hero, which I think is a classic song, but it does have a couple of obscenities in it, or should we worry that hearing these words that people hear almost every day in the street and certainly at home. Should we shy away from playing this simply because of that? I mean, are we being realistic here?
Well, I want to point out two things.
Okay, then we have to go to another call. Go ahead.
The first is that I think whoever likes it, okay, whoever likes that kind of stuff, they just get these records or something or whatever. And people who don't just stay away from it. That's all I can say. And the other thing is, you know, I'm a big wrestling fan, right?
Uh-huh.
The other day, I was looking at a wrestling magazine, and in the back cover printed is this nude wrestling in mud.
Now, that's disgusting.
Now, kids can buy those wrestling magazines.
Okay, now, PMRC, what about wrestling magazines? Are we going to do something about that now?
No, I think so, because it shouldn't be in there. If a kid can walk up to a person and buy it, and I don't think it's right.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
632-6901. If you get through, just let the phone ring, and we will get to you. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey, great to hear this subject addressed.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. It's about time.
I'm really interested in a lot of this stuff, and I've been following many different groups that talk about censorship, especially rock music. I saw Jello Biafra last fall, and I just went, wow, and it was really mind-blowing. So I got in touch with a whole bunch of different people, read a lot of books about, religious books mostly, about rock music. And the scary thing is, well, first, their viewpoint is pretty scary. Most of them are very pro-censorship, but you can deal with that. They don't like it, we like it, we'll fight back and forth. But the problem, one of the main problems is, they're very misinformed, and they give out tremendous misinformation.
This is the PMRC?
Well, the PMRC is one group. Tip Gore put out a book called Raising PG Kids in an X-Rated Society.
Uh-huh.
And the first statement she makes in the book is that things have gotten way out of control since the days of, like, I Love Lucy and the Beatles.
Uh-huh.
So I figured, you know, the Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand, 1964, you know, Mop Tops, it's cute. What's the problem? You know, that's nice. She thinks it's nice, because that's her generation.
Uh-huh.
Then she's talking about, not music, but horror films. And she goes off on all these terrible horror films. She describes this one movie where they hold this woman down, and they cut off her arm, and they're holding her arm up, and they're laughing about it. And
Wasn't that a Shakespeare play, Titus Andronicus?
But the thing is, that movie...
Oh, no, that was her tongue.
...came out in 1964. So I don't see where her point is.
Uh-huh.
if things haven't changed.
Well, now, there's one thing Jello Biafra said when he came here to Stony Brook. He said, how come these country and Western films somehow are exempt from all of this? They can be as violent as they want, and that's not degrading the values of our youth. Why is that?
It's strange. It's just plain... It's nitpicking. I think they're afraid of the kids. They don't understand what's going on. They're afraid of loud music, definitely.
Uh-huh.
They're afraid of the imagery when they don't realize it's just another harmless escape.
Uh-huh.
It's like you could be listening to Charlie Parker, you could be listening to Ozzy or Slayer, and it's not much of a difference. It's still music, and you can have a good time.
Now, how do you respond to something like the incident in Northport where devil worshipping was going on allegedly?
It's devil worshipping, those kids, if they were devil worshipping, they needed to take a course in basic Satan because they couldn't even spell it. If you saw the graffiti that they put in Newsday,
that's right.
Parker said, I love satin. Either they had a tremendous clothing fetish or they just couldn't spell. Those kids mostly had a problem with taking lots of drugs.
Uh-huh.
From what I've read, there's a book called Say You Love Satan that talks a lot about the Ricky Caso incident. And mostly they were just taking tremendous amounts of hallucinogenics, which is I wouldn't recommend for anyone.
Now, do you think rock music encourages people to take drugs?
If you see what a lot of the people are saying, there's some people that say rock people that say take drugs or not take drugs. I don't think any type of music can make you want to take drugs or not take drugs. And the thing is, there's the religious groups. There's a group called Freedom Village.
Uh-huh.
It's in upstate New York. It's run by a guy named Fletcher Brothers. And they put out some books. They put out a book called The Rock Report. They put out a cassette called What's Wrong with Rock Music. And this cassette is crazed. This man talks and he's doesn't know what he's talking about. He talks about the evils of Mr. Pink Floyd and Mr. Floyd's song, We Don't Need No Education.
Yeah.
And makes up new deaths for people.
Do you by chance have a copy of this cassette?
I do.
Can you send
and
it
you
in to us?
For free.
Can you send? Oh, all right, give me the address. I'd love to get a copy.
It's a 1-800 telephone number.
It's a 1-800 telephone number.
It's 1-800-VICTORY. And request What's Wrong with Rock Music, and they'll send it to you, no charge.
Are they open 24 hours?
Yes, it is.
I'll call them right now and get it sent right over here.
You can do that. And there are some strange people, though, I'll tell you. They talk about how Janis Joplin tried to cut her own face off with a razor blade. But if you read the book by Thomas Noguchi, did the autopsy on her, he doesn't mention that. I don't know where he gets that.
Uh-huh.
There's a pair of brothers called Dan and Steve Peters
who
go around crusading against rock music. They hold, like, Nazi-esque...
Well,
record burning.
Let me appeal to our listeners. If they come across things like this, please send it in to us because we do want to see what's going on out there.
I've heard this tape aired on USB on some other stuff. Some industrial shows would mix it in with other music.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Peters Brothers, they have a couple books. One's called What's Wrong? Why Knock Rock?
Uh-huh.
And they're consistently in error misquoting everyone. They misquote Dylan and lyrics, the Sex Pistols lyrics, AC/DC lyrics. They talk about that Pink Floyd song, Another Brick in the Wall Part 2, that goes, we don't need no education,
right,
and they add in their own lines. If you look at the album, or listen to the record, or look at the sheet music, that's not there. Their version of the song goes, we don't need no education, we don't need no thought control, which is correct. Then they go, I ain't dumb, I ain't stupid, I ain't did nothing to you, which is from outer space. I don't know if aliens came and zapped this into their brains.
Are you serious? They actually said that?
Floyd's world.
That's incredible.
And the funniest one they ever had, it's so tremendously slanderous and libelous. There's a song called Suicide Solution by Ozzy, which Ozzy takes so much crap from these people. This song is about alcoholism. The first line is, wine is fine, but whiskey's quicker. Suicide is slow with liquor. It's a song saying that you're going to drink, it's just a slow suicide, you're going to die. Suicide solution. A solution can be two things. It can be an answer to a problem, and it can be a liquid. And in this case, it's a liquid. But most of these people aren't bright enough to figure out there can be two meanings and can't figure out these lyrics. And they say, it's saying suicide is a good thing to do. I went to a church. I saw a guy named Blaine Bartell at the Full Gospel Tabernacle about 2 months ago. And he said, Ozzy Osbourne, right in front of my face, he's got a song that says, suicide is okay. I stood up and I told him, you're full of it, buddy. And Blaine Bartell puts out a cassette from Tulsa called Straight Talk About Rock.
Well,
it's not Straight Talk.
In this video that I have, it's right here in front of me, in fact, they... they pan across a list of names of groups, and one of them is suicidal tendencies. And then the only reason they focus on it is because of the name of the group. Now, what is obscene about picking a name like that? I mean, that's what they were implying. They were saying suicidal tendencies, they encourage suicide simply because they say the word suicidal tendencies. In actuality, they may be, in their songs, they may be addressing the issue head on, which is what it needs to be done, rather than evading it.
Just, it's a nasty word, or you can't say that around your kids, you know?
Yeah. Now, I
Peter
wish...
Brothers, they quote this Ozzy song, and they get it right, except for the last line, which is, they add a line to the song, which isn't on the lyric sheet on the album, or if you listen to the song, it's not there. The line they add is, "Why don't you kill yourself?" which is like putting up their cause a little bit.
That's amazing.
There's a new movie that just came out. It's called The Decline of Western Civilization, Part 2, The Metal Years, by Penelope Spira. She's the director. It's a documentary about heavy metal with a lot of young heavy metal bands and interviews with established heavy metal people.
Uh-huh.
And there's interviews in there with a woman from a place called Back in Control, which is located in California. It's a workshop for parents. It's run by ex-probation officers, and I wrote to them and got a whole bunch of their paraphernalia. And they deal with misbehavior, they say, linked with punk or heavy metal. These people are very strange. This is the first paragraph. It says, "If you're made to feel like a snoopy old busybody every time you ask your children where they've been or where they're going, if visitors mistake your child's room for their county dump, if you spend more time in the principal's office as a parent than you did as a student, if your children spend an extraordinary amount of time tending those funny-looking weeds in the backyard," and it goes on like that, very sarcastic tone.
Yeah.
And their methods are to take, in the movie she talks about this, to take the cassettes away from the kids, to take away their heavy metal garb, which to them can be anything from a spiked wristband to a black T-shirt. And she talks about these people, the symbols of heavy metal and Satanism.
Now, that's the thing that really gets me,
the
Star
of David?
Yeah, the Star of David is a satanic symbol, according to them.
And to trying to back that up, she says, because it's the opposite of the cross, and Satanism is trying to be everything that Christianity isn't, so that's why that's a satanic symbol. I don't understand that rationale.
Uh-huh. And, of course, you know, you have to assume that everybody takes on the same values. I mean, okay, let people worship Satan if that's what they want to do. I don't see it really getting in my way. You know, I don't think that's what's happening at all, but I still don't see why we should be so concerned about something that is really only offensive to people who hold certain beliefs. It's certainly not offensive to people who are atheist or agnostic. At least I don't think so.
Well, it gives them a scapegoat, so you don't see what else is going on. You don't see the corrupt business dealings of these churches, or keep away from maybe taxing them or the problems that they have lately.
Now,
televangelist.
We have to get on to some other calls, but let me just ask you, what is the name of that cassette that I can get from 1-800-VICTORY?
What's Wrong with Rock Music.
What's Wrong with Rock Music.
And it's 1-800-VICTORY is the telephone number.
Okay.
It's open all the time. You can call up and they'll send it to you, no problem.
No problem, no charge, huh?
No charge.
All right, we'll give them a call right now then, see what happens.
Great.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 632-6901 is our phone number, and we'll be getting to those calls that are ringing and just a matter of moments, but first I don't want to pass up this opportunity to both get this this amazing tape and also to hear these people on the air, so let's see what happens.
And by the way, you're listening to Mr. Brain Damage.
Oh.
Is the name of the program. For example, Mr. Pink Floyd.
Yes, Mr. Always put a Mr. before everything.
Good evening, Peter Miller, can I help you?
Oh boy. Yes, hi, I heard you had a cassette that was available about rock music.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me something about that?
It just talks about what's wrong with rock music.
Can you tell me what's wrong with rock music?
Excuse me?
Can you tell me what's wrong with rock music?
Okay, what you need to do is call back when there's a pastor available.
Office help.
Okay, so can you hold on one moment? I have another phone call.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I love holding. Most people complain about holding. I look forward to it. Jim, do you have any feelings on all this?
Well,
musical hold.
Oh, excuse me. Nice.
What, you're a classical music DJ. This is,
This is Für Elise by Beethoven.
Right, Beethoven. Oh, this is beautiful. Well, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. This is lovely. I wonder if this is on anybody's list as,
Thank you for waiting. You'll need to call back when there's a pastor available, okay?
Okay, can I get the cassette mailed to me, though?
Mm-hmm. Can I take your name and address?
Yes, my name is Eric Corley, C-O-R-L-E-Y.
Okay, that's E-R-I-C?
That's right. And that's C-O-R-L-E-Y.
I'm sorry, C what?
C-O-R-L-E-Y.
And are you a teenager?
No, I'm not, regrettably not. Why, would I get something special if I was?
No, I just need to know if you're not a teenager, you'll be placed on a mailing list.
Uh-huh. Oh, great. Well, the address to send that to is care of WUSB Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the State University of New York. Dramatic pause.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Stony Brook, New York. Two words, Stony Brook. And no E in Stony, please.
Mm-hmm.
And the zip code is 11794.
Okay, is there a phone number for that?
Yes, there is. Area code 516-632-6901. That's 516-632-6901. Excuse me?
691?
6901.
Okay. And are you married, sir?
Am I married? No, I'm not.
Okay.
I never said that
and
on the air.
How did you hear about Freedom Village?
Well, I guess a friend told me about it. Someone I just spoke to, actually.
Okay. And have you ever received mail from us?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Let me just repeat this information to make sure it's correct, okay?
Okay.
Okay. That's Mr. E-R-I-C-C-O-R-L-E-Y in care of WUSB Radio of State University of New York, Stony Brook, S-T-O-N-E-Y, New York, 11794-516-632-6901.
That's perfect, except there is no E in Stony. That's the only thing that's wrong with that, but you could even leave that in there and it'll get to us.
Okay, and you said, have you ever received mail from us?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Still hasn't gotten here. Excuse me?
Okay, well, thank you very much for your call, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Mr. Stony Brook, Eric.
Mr. Stony Brook, yes.
I just wanted to say that...
Let me just give out our phone number, 632-6901. We're going to be going back to the phones in just a moment. 632-6901, area code 516. We're talking about censorship and rock music and devil worship and all that kind of stuff. Go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to say that I wanted to thank some staff members, at least one that I spoke with, that called to try and help us locate the Jello Biafra record, but
to no avail.
I double-checked once again and could not find it.
Yeah, well, Chris Crowley has even come in, and he's tearing the whole library apart right now trying to find it, and I appreciate that, but I'm kind
of
doubtful as to whether we'll uncover it tonight. And if we don't, we'll find one by next week, certainly, and we'll keep talking about this.
Certainly you don't think it was already censored.
You know, wouldn't it be something if someone came in here and just removed it because it was dangerous?
Wouldn't it, though?
It's almost getting to that stage. And I don't want to sound paranoid, but the bombs are hitting, pretty close here.
Yes.
632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello, Sandra Goldberger.
Hello. How are you?
Good. I just want to see, I forgot one thing.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second. Mark, close the door.
Close the door.
Okay.
Now turn the radio up. We'll tell her to close the door.
I just wanted to say, because my grandmother doesn't believe that I'm really on the radio. Okay.
He's on the radio.
What about the phone calls? Phone, sex on the.
Oh, you're talking about the mass announcement services.
900-540s.
Yeah, well, now there's a big controversy with those, too, whether children should be allowed to access them. And, of course, the phone bills come a month later, and they're quite hefty because of all the calls to them. Again, it's a matter of freedom of speech. Should these services be allowed to exist? Personally, it seems kind of antisocial in a way. And I don't see any real need for them, but obviously other people disagree with that. I don't really have a solution to that.
Well, that's kind of a bad problem. It's not only that. It's there's now those party lines.
Uh-huh. The conference lines.
Yeah, you can say one curse, you're off of it, but you still can say it because again, it's live.
Yeah, well, now are we going to put everything in delay or something? Are we going to not talk to each other? Live on the telephone or in person anymore? We're going to get offended. We're going to hear things that are upsetting to us. Even if we turn on the news, we'll see a watered-down version of that, but we will see things that, turn our stomachs. Now, I don't think it's right to protect people from that kind of thing. I think it's right to show people how to handle it and what is acceptable and what is not. So somebody can look at something and say, my God, this is garbage. I don't like this. I think it's terrible.
Don't read it.
Right. And they will make that decision all on their own. And if someone can't do that, then they're not strong and they're not prepared to walk outside their front door.
But see, the problem is, I saw on the news, I always watch the news, call me a bookworm.
You're a bookworm.
Yeah. I was watching that this one kid, he called this rap party line,
uh-huh,
where mostly blacks would call. So they would say curses and everything, and this and it was the phone bill for these parents. They don't know anything about this, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now he would call. The prices were ridiculous. It was like $6 a minute.
$6 a minute?
Yes.
Now, I think $1 a minute is outrageous. They have phone calls that cost $6 a minute now?
$6 a minute.
That's highway robbery. I think that's more obscene than anything that could possibly be said on those phone lines.
Exactly, and only to hear curses.
Uh-huh. Well, now, I mean, you can do that for free in almost any street around here anyway.
Exactly. But $6 a minute. The phone bill wound up to be, I think this is outrageous, $7,000.
That's not outrageous at all. Something that's $6 an hour, that won't take that long to get up that high.
I know.
Not at all.
But that's $7,000. The guy is a little bit poor, okay?
There's no reason they should have to pay a cent of that.
He's using food stamps. Not after, but before, too.
Uh-huh.
He's working around 5 jobs, including a taxi cab.
Well, now look, if that happens to anybody, they can contact the phone company, and the phone company will disallow the phone calls. You are supposed to be able to get blocking equipment on your phones that will prevent you from calling those exchanges if that's what you want to do.
How expensive that is?
No, it's not expensive at all. It's free. It doesn't cost a penny. The phone company is required to do that, and if the phone company doesn't do that, then they take on all the responsibility of the charges.
I
plain and simple.
There was a blocking system that you could not call any number.
There's a blocking system that will block out the 976-540-550 or 970 exchanges, all of which do different things. And if you get that, then you've done your responsibility. You can't make those calls anymore from your home phone. And that's all you should be expected to do.
I know, but the sickest thing is, it's not on the subject of obscenity and everything on phone calls. Is those phone calls about the Easter Bunny?
Phone calls about the Easter Bunny?
No, those things you see advertised on TV.
Call the Easter Bunny or something like that?
Easter Bunny every day so he can tell you new adventures.
Yeah, right.
Santa Claus thing. That's those kids, I remember I did it once.
Uh-huh.
When I was little. I called it without my mother's permission, and I got in trouble. I only called once. Didn't say anything.
Uh-huh.
It was a real stupid thing. It's a recording, probably from a record, that lasts half a minute. Now, my mother gave me permission once to call a wrestling action line.
The thing is, Andrew, with these kind of services that they advertise on TV, you advertise a special toy on television. A kid can't go outside and with a Visa card or something and buy the toy, but in effect, they're doing the same thing. They're telling kids, do this, go ahead, and the kids can do it from their home. So it's obviously the kid can't make a rational decision, and if the kid's unsupervised, how can the parent take responsibility for everything the kid touches inside his own home?
Yeah,
so
it's false advertising.
Oh, it definitely is false advertising, but it's also obscene to expect people to pay for something that they never asked for, and it's obscene to think that a 3-year-old kid is going to make a rational decision and should be held responsible for dialing a number.
Yeah.
After he's told to dial a number. And the kids don't understand cost and effect and all that kind of jazz, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we have to go on to some other calls. So
okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling, let me call two times.
No problem, no problem.
Bye.
632-6901 is our telephone number, area code 516. Jim, do you have any comments at this point?
Well, what strikes me, a number of things come to my mind on the issue of censorship, and I guess it becomes a First Amendment argument, a constitutional argument, and the question that comes to my mind in general regarding censorship is the problem of where, if one is going to censor certain material, the criteria that they use, where they draw the line, and who determines that criteria, and who determines what material is over that line or not over that line. And it's a very, to me, it's a very thorny issue. And I'm not going to minimize, I'm not a parent myself, and I'm not going to minimize for people who are parents the dilemma and the difficulty and the concerns that they have as far as raising their children is concerned, as far as what they see their children exposed to in the way of what some may consider objectionable or questionable material. And I'm not suggesting that I have all the answers, certainly where that's concerned. Again, I'll emphasize, I'm not a parent. I'm not about to lecture or dictate to somebody who is that they're doing a correct job or not a correct job as a parent. But my point of view with respect to censorship is that it gets into the question of the whole philosophy of democracy, and someone once said something, I guess I'm paraphrasing, but something along the lines of the fact that democracy is not an easy system to live under, that it may be for many people living in a very controlled society, let's say a totalitarian society, it may be for most of them much safer statistically, because there might be many fewer crimes taking place in general. I'm not even talking about just the First Amendment here, freedom of speech. But to keep on that topic, it may be much less offensive for many people living in a totalitarian society, because speech of one form or another would be tightly controlled. But then the other side of it is, how is their life in general, on a day-to-day basis, does an individual feel better living in a very tightly controlled society, feeling that he is safer, that he is not going to hear objectionable material, versus someone who has more of a chance of being exposed to crime or to objectionable material, let's say, but who has more freedom of choice and freedom of discretion someone who's living in a controlled society, who might feel that he's not going to be offended by random speech or by random crime, but is going to feel threatened by the very government itself that may penalize him if he accidentally says the wrong thing or looks the wrong way, so to speak.
Should we be protected from thoughts, from words, or should we be making those decisions ourselves? If we should be protected, who makes the decision as to what gets out and what doesn't? And if it's up to us, what do we do when we hear something that offends us? That's I think what we should be addressing.
I agree.
Our phone number is 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, I wanted to talk about that music.
Okay.
I listen to like heavy metal type, like, and hard rock. Like, I don't think radical things happen, like, you know what I'm talking about.
You don't think it affects you in various ways?
No.
What, do you read the lyrics? Do you listen to the lyrics?
I listen to it, and I sometimes read the lyrics.
Uh-huh. And do they say anything in particular?
No, not really. That's some of them.
Uh-huh. Do you listen to it more for the lyrics or for the music?
Both.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, now, how do you respond to groups like the PMRC saying that this kind of music can affect you, can make you kill yourself, worship the devil, have wild sex and all that kind of thing? What do you think of that?
Well, I'm not so sure about that, but I don't see, I don't think they should, like, just leave it alone, and, you know, because it's not really, around where I live, there isn't much, like, of that going on, like, even, and most of them do listen to that type of music.
Yeah, do you think the music would encourage you to do things that you wouldn't do ordinarily if you didn't hear the music?
Well, not really.
Yeah. And how about your friends?
Well, no, same with them. They just listen to it, you know, for the fun of it. Yeah, you know, entertainment, you know, type.
Yeah.
I don't think that would, like, you know, change their attitude or whatever.
What would happen if a group came in and said, well, this record is being taken off the shelf because it's harmful? Do you think do you think your friends would be upset by that?
Well, maybe a little bit, but, you know, not much.
Yeah. They'd find something else to listen to.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Thanks very much for calling.
All right.
632-6901. Give us your opinion. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello again. That woman from Freedom Village didn't sound too bright.
Well, I don't want to comment on someone's intelligence. Obviously, she was just a worker taking phone calls. I don't know if she actually was involved.
I found some of the paraphernalia from that place. I have a book here called Teenager, Someone Does Care by Pastor Fletcher A. Brothers. And it has what God says about many different topics. And it has what God says about rock music.
What God says about rock music?
Yes.
I love it. Go ahead.
This is about rock music. He goes, I know that for many of you, music is your life. I will probably hit a nerve in talking to you about rock music, but I beg you to open up your mind and at least hear me out.
Okay.
Teenager. Well.
Wait, is this God speaking?
No, this is brother speaking. He gets to God in a minute.
Go ahead.
You probably won't believe this, but the number one enemy of your soul in today's world is rock music.
Okay.
They're not even communism, rock music. I hear the rock stars say, we are only giving the young people what they desire. My friend, that is a bold-faced lie. Rock music creates the desires. Rock music feeds the desires. And yet, my friend, when your life is in the gutter, I wonder if any of the rock stars who have advocated the drugs to you, advocated the permissiveness to you, advocated the rebellion to you, which is now spelling the ruin of your life, I wonder if you called any of these rock stars, whether they would be at all interested in your problems which they have helped to create. And it goes on. Many rock stars openly claim to be atheists. Others boast of being devil worshippers, and so tell of selling themselves to Satan. Still others flaunt their homosexuality, all of which God calls abomination, which means it literally makes God want to vomit. That's a pretty picture, isn't it?
What happens when God vomits? That's
Then he talks about, just look at the results, and he lists tons of rock stars who died. This is the best one.
A heck of a large alcohol.
After John Belushi, he has John Lennon. It says, John Lennon, ex-Beatle, once said that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ, and yet John Lennon is gone.
What was that? John Lennon is what?
Ex-Beatle. Yeah. Once said that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ, and yet John Lennon is gone.
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. I've been pondering that for 8 months.
Are they saying that he got taken from this earth because he said that?
That's pretty much it. They make up some bizarre quotes for John Lennon on that cassette. When you receive it, it says that John Lennon says that Jesus Christ was a no-good, stinking, blankety-blank-blank, and he talks about how he cussed him a blue streak. Which I've been trying to find where he said that, too.
I don't think that was...
I called the guy up, Brothers Up, and I asked him, and he said it was in Billboard. I don't know.
Ever
then he's got this statistic.
I don't think he ever said that. I mean, even if he did say that, you can say whatever you want to say, but I don't think that's going to get you plucked off the earth.
Well, I think
like a gunman comes and shoots you because you say bad things about Jesus.
Well, they would probably say the group, the organization that says that Lennon is now gone, and he said this about the Beatles and Jesus. They would probably say that the point they're trying to make is that they say that they're bigger than Jesus, and yet one of them can be killed so easily, whereas Jesus has endured over the centuries.
And I don't want to kid you, Jesus got killed a lot easier.
all I'm saying is what I think that's what they would have in mind if they were asked about it. Although you may be right that they may be implying the same thing, they may be implying. It reminds me of a joke where somebody walks into a room and sees graffiti on a wall, and the first piece of graffiti says, "God is dead," signed Nietzsche, and the next piece of graffiti says, "Nietzsche is dead," signed God. So maybe that's what they suggest. But seriously, what I find odd about that, or misinformed about that, is that my recollection is that Lenin clarified that statement about
the
popularity, where he was simply making a comment about the number of people who were interested in the Beatles at a given point in time, who thought of them in a very
almost religious way.
Yes, an almost religious way. And I don't think he meant that in any kind of blasphemous or offensive way to people who are Christian or religious people in general.
Of course, lots of times people are they're right there by the gun, you know, waiting for something to be said, you know. And if you say something that even mentions Christ in it, you're all of a sudden an atheist or something like that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a lot of different groups of people react the same way to that. They're very uppity as far as that goes. I personally think it was very insightful thing for him to say. About it. The Beatles, the biggest thing at that time, just parallel that to religion. You might get some interesting parallels there.
Yeah. Absolutely right.
Yeah, they had such a profound effect, not only musically, but from a social and political standpoint, that I think that what he was doing in a way was complimenting Jesus, because he was highlighting Jesus' role as a social reformer as well as a figure of religion.
Perhaps he was even warning the public, look out, we're getting maybe too big for our own good.
Right, I would agree.
And they have a whole bunch of Bible quotes about what God says about rock music. I don't think they had rock music when they wrote the New Testament. They say from Corinthians, it says, "Wherefore thou ye eat or drink, or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And his point is that you can't do rock music to the glory of God. He even says that Christian rock is out. That's just as bad, because not only is the words evil, it's the beat itself. It's the beat is Satan's beat. Because Satan has to have everything that God has.
It sounds just like the Ayatollah, you know,
he says, stop and think, teenager. 3.5 million teenage alcoholics. 2.5 million runaways. He says 87% wind up in prostitution. 18% wind up dead.
Probably because
100% of everyone winds up dead.
Probably because their parents are too busy quoting Jesus to them instead of helping them refrain from drinking alcohol and addressing the problems that they're really having. I mean, how is quoting the Bible going to help a teenager if he doesn't want to hear it? How is taking away their heavy metal albums going to do anything for them except make them want to run away from home?
Hey, or try to brainwash them. Because venereal disease is skyrocketing. Teenagers now number one in crime. Way to go, teenagers. And millions of lives and minds wasted on drugs and abortions by the millions. Could rock music be fueling this fire? Then he has his plug for his cassette.
What's the last rock song that you heard that told you to run out and have an abortion? I can't think of any.
No, me either. Maybe because it promotes the permissiveness. And then he talks about how those things in the drugstore aren't protection. You can't have protection against God's laws. Like contraceptives are evil.
Uh-huh.
I got this article here. It's clipped out from the AP. It says, Omaha, an issue of National Geographic magazine and some Daffy Duck comic books were among a pile of publications burned by the principal of a religious school who said there were distractions that could hinder Christian lives. The principal, the Reverend Lawrence Westberg of Omaha Christian School, did not say what was wrong with the publications, which were burned in front of about 130 students Thursday. But he said, I believe as a Christian school, we have a responsibility to uphold Christian values in every area of life. National Geographic and Daffy Duck?
Well, could it be that Daffy Duck is a Satanist?
Maybe because he doesn't wear clothes.
Well, you know, you send your kid to a Christian school, and I put that word in double quotes there, you might as well expect things like that to happen. Because that's what you know what you're doing. You know you're sending your kid to a place that enforces that kind of religion. And you know, sometimes it's enforced correctly, sometimes it's enforced without any regard to what's right or wrong. Of course, the kid has no say in this. But when this kind of thing starts taking effect in public schools and on public radio stations and just in record stores, that's when we have to start really taking notice here, because that's when our rights start getting
invaded. CNN. A couple months ago, they're having a thing on prayer in school, and there was a whole bunch of praying going on in these schools in Florida, and no one was complaining about it, and they wouldn't do anything about it until there was a complaint was lodged, and there were so few people, and every time they would try to, that were against it, and every time they would try something, like their house would get burned down, or they'd get tremendously harassed, that it was insane, and there's all these kids saying their prayers in school. It's, I don't know, you can leave the coast or go down south, it's a pretty different country.
Well, that's why it is a pretty different country. In fact, New York is not a microcosm at all of the rest of the country. But when these things start making their way up here, and we have been noticing it in this area, we have been subjected to this kind of thing as far as debating whether or not we should be playing these songs and whether they're affecting people's minds and whether they're obscene or not and what's obscene and what's indecent. When that starts taking a hold, you really have to tackle it head on because you lose ground a lot faster than you think you possibly can. I'm thinking particularly of an episode of a TV show called WKRP.
The Jerry Falwell-esque man is sitting there reading the lyrics to John Lennon's Imagine.
Exactly. He starts off by advising the station on what songs have been proven to, again, in quotes, proven to hurt today's youth, hurt their minds, make them do irrational things. And it gets to the point where they're really controlling the station. And then one day the general manager walks in and asks if this song should be banned. And he reads Imagine There's No Country, It Isn't Hard to Do, and reads the lyrics to John Lennon's Imagine. And the person says, no, this is atheism. This is this person is preaching anarchy. And
classic lines by Gordon Jump there at the end. That was great when he tells him off. I was happy.
Yeah, very, very good point. Now you're banning ideas. You're no longer banning simple words. You're banning ideas. And that step generally is taken very quickly. That's why I'm so concerned.
Yes.
I hope other people listening
definitely
are.
Definitely.
And if you want to have that say about what's going on in censorship issues, language issues, prayer and school issues, there's an entrance fee in this country, and it's called taxes. And there's a whole bunch of churches that should be paying them that aren't audited properly. There's no way of telling how much money they're taking in. Grossly negligent religions.
Well, there's two different kinds of religions. I think there's the real religion where you go and you see a service, preferably in Latin, and you generally get a feeling for the situation as it's developed over the centuries. And then there's a kind of mail-order religion that you see on TV with the number on the bottom of the screen telling you to send in your money. The guy has 20 Cadillacs in his mansion. That's religion? The people who should be most upset by that kind of religion are the truly religious people of this country because it's giving them a bad name. You know, Jerry Falwell, is that religion? Is Jimmy Swaggart, is that religion?
And it's bad enough that there's these words that we can't say right now because someone will come and throw you in jail. It makes me feel completely restricted if I have a word that I can feel can express myself perfectly, and I'm told, nope, you can't say that. That's like one of the worst feelings I know.
Uh-huh.
And that's something we should try to get rid of.
Uh-huh.
Try to get these suckers while they're just starting out. We got to get them now.
Thanks for your call, sir.
Thank you.
632-6901 is our phone number.
I just wanted to mention, do we say this is WUSB Stony Brook?
No, WUSB Stony Brook. That's
okay.
A legal ID.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What I just wanted to mention, the caller raised a number of interesting points. One of them that stands out in my mind is the position taken by one of the censorship advocates that he cited, one of the anti-rock music advocates that he cited, saying that even Christian rock was not acceptable to this individual that the caller cited.
And there's a lot of Christian rock, too, and that's a bizarre form of music, too. I have no objection to it at all.
Well, neither do I. But what's surprising, or I think what's a good illustration, I should say, about the dangers of censorship is my understanding of the content of Christian rock is that it is used to spread the Christian gospel, and it simply puts the words of the Christian gospel or words that discuss the Christian gospel in a positive light to rock music. Now,
Exactly. If
someone is going to take the position that is not acceptable, I wouldn't think, at least my impression is that the person cannot be objecting to the message in the lyrics since it's the Christian gospel being promoted there.
So something about the music.
Something about the music.
Right.
Now, what does he object to? And here's, I think, what illustrates the difficulty of where one draws the line. What makes
a proper melody in his mind, or is it the harmony that he objects to, or is it the a certain number of note values in a given measure, or is it the rhythm that he? What is it about it that endemically is supposed to be bad?
You notice that all of a sudden we're no longer talking about words.
Exactly.
We're talking about the actual music. Now, how
can
you ban music?
Exactly.
Just instrumentals. How can instrumentals be evil?
Exactly. What is the basis of judgment where somebody says, I mean, someone may not like a piece of music, and that's fine, and someone may like the same piece of music, and that's fine, but to suggest that some legal judgment be made about the acceptability or unacceptability of that mm-hmm. is amazing. And again, you make a very good point here when you show how quickly it went from the issue of specific words to something that was nonverbal, to music itself.
Mm-hmm. And that's invariably the way it seems to go.
I agree 100%.
Because when people get a certain amount of control, they never just say, okay, I'm happy, I'm going to keep this this amount of control and not going to expand it or anything. They always go for something more. And
that's right.
In a way, I feel a lot of groups are kind of testing the system here. Groups like the Beastie Boys and Prince and that kind of thing. And I'm not really fond of either one of them, but I do think they have the right. If they want to put out records with all kinds of horrible things on them, it's really their right, and it's our right mm-hmm. not to buy them if we find them repulsive.
Right.
If we find them acceptable, then we should ask ourselves, why do we find this kind of thing acceptable? Maybe there's something that we're unleashing in the act of buying those kind of records and in the act of listening to them that is being repressed. And by listening to them, we're somehow releasing that and maybe becoming more of a well-balanced person just by addressing that kind of thing. It's like, you know, you play a game instead of going to war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, should we ban football because it tends to be a little bit violent?
That's a good point.
If we don't do that, we're just going to unleash the aggressiveness in some other way.
That's a good point. I think that, again, a number of issues are raised in what you just said that are legitimate, that bear discussing and consideration,
mm-hmm.
and that is part, in my mind, of what being living in a democracy is about, a free exchange of ideas, which takes a free exchange of words. And there are probably those people, certain pro-censorship advocates, that would try to make illegal that very discussion, a simple discussion about censorship.
Uh-huh.
Could become, in and of itself, material for censorship.
Certainly.
It happens very quickly, and I think that if one looks at a number of different societies that are present nowadays, and that were present not too long ago, and were present many, many years ago, I think one of the common strains in these societies that involved a lot of injustices and a lot of killing, unjustified killing. I mean, it's difficult to think of justified killing other than, let's say, self-defense, but that many of these societies had censorship as part and parcel of them. And I'm certainly not saying that our society in the United States is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
There are certainly, in my mind anyway, improvements that are needed, but I think that we have the general groundwork and foundation at present in place for the democratic process to eventually solve those problems,
uh-huh.
and that the potential is there, and that by trying to, in a panicky way, which I think is what is happening in a number of these instances, try to control too much the exchange of ideas, that one will not improve what's happening, and one may very well help bring about more of the very ills that some of the pro-censorship groups are citing as a justification for the censorship.
Oh, it backlashes, yeah. It you know, backfires, I guess is the better word for it. I think it's unnatural. People have to express themselves. And when you put a mm-hmm. clamp on that, you get all kinds of weird reactions. You get all kinds of suppression mm-hmm. and hostility. And I don't know, it just doesn't seem like it's going to work as far as you know, as making it a better society. As far as this radio station is concerned, this is very important to people listening because it will affect the way we sound over the air. It definitely will, if such things are actually made into any kind of a policy. And in a moment, we'll be getting to just how that affects us. Give us a call, 632-6901. We're talking about obscenity and indecency on airwaves and in records, and whether it should be controlled. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi. Is this Brain Damage?
Yes. Please turn down your radio.
Okay.
Turn down the radio.
Do I have Brain Damage right now?
It sounds like you do, yes.
Ah, how you doing tonight?
Okay.
What's the subject matter tonight?
Are you listening to your radio?
No.
Well, we're talking about... We're talking about controlling the lyrics of music. We're talking about censorship on the radio and...
It's very interesting. Can I make a comment? I heard a rumor. I don't know if there's any truth to it, but I heard that that there are certain industrial bands of the German from Germany or whatever that are not allowed to come into this country because someone has deemed them to be unhealthy for the American something or other. And have you heard anything to this effect?
Well, now that brings up an interesting point because there are a large number of musicians that are not able to enter this country because of such things, because either their lyrics are too political, and I think the government takes more of an interest when the lyrics are political.
Yeah, I heard the Pet Shop Boys also are not allowed to gig in the United States.
Is that so?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a rumor, really. I can't reveal a source that I really actually read it from a reliable source, but I think it's, you know, this is actually censorship that's happening right now, and nobody is even paying any attention to it at all. You know, they're more concentrated on this PMRC media overkill.
Well, how can they pay attention to it? How do they find out about it?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. But how do I know about it? I couldn't tell you that either, but any comments there?
Well, it's something that I've noticed. I mean, groups like Big Audio Dynamite, they had a lot of trouble getting into this country because they don't sing obscene songs. They sing about issues, about political things.
Really?
And that makes a lot of people nervous. So
it does make me nervous. It actually frightens me because who is to determine what is good for me or bad for me? I think that's my choice or whoever I decide to decide that for me. You know what I'm trying to say? Say an industrial band who just comes here and makes noise or whatever, or sings about something that maybe offends someone, but doesn't necessarily offend me. And if it's an expression of art, I should be the one to decide what, you know, whether it's good or whether it's bad. But I think I should be allowed to, you know, make up my own mind.
Yeah. Well, now what you raise here brings up an even bigger issue.
Yeah.
It's not just rock music. It's things like books. A lot of authors have the same problem getting into the country.
Uh-huh.
A lot of public speakers. Didn't Bishop Tutu have problems getting into this country? I'm not sure if he particularly did, but people like that who are outspoken and critical lots of times have trouble. And you would think, you know, what is this, the Soviet Union? I mean, aren't we supposed to be free and open and all that kind of thing? They're not coming here to live. They're coming here to speak.
What are we being protected? Violated because, you know, you hear certain bands or you hear of certain authors and certain books, and you don't have a chance to read them and decide for yourself whether you say this is good or this is bad or this is dangerous or this isn't dangerous. Because if you just turn on MTV, man, now that's dangerous to me. And you know, industrial music, or you know, there's a lot of people. It's an anti-music commentary, I think, or I'm at a loss for words basically, but. I'm just, it just really is frightening because that's really what's going on right now.
And it is something that is moving forward. It's not just a concept in the distance. These things are actually happening. It is taking effect. It is affecting the way we sound on the air. It's affecting what you see in concert. It's affecting the books you read. It is happening. It's not, you know, it's not a fascist state by any means, but it's certainly closer to being that than it was, say, 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I turn to you, though, and I pose this question to you, is what can we do about it, if anything? Is there anything that can be done?
Basically, be aware. Look in the newspapers, read things, ask questions.
Right,
and,
but who, like I'm saying, being aware of something and actually putting something into action are two different things. And
well,
what would you suggest to, like, say, everyone who's listening, what, you know, who do you write to?
Okay, well, there's several groups and people you can write to. You can write to your congressman, you can write to the Federal Communications Commission, you can write to record industries, record stores, say, I'm not gonna go to this record store anymore if you start banning records from here that I like to see. I'm not gonna buy any record on your record label if you kick these people off because they're being too political or don't have nice words in their songs or don't sing about the right subjects. Say the same thing to your congressman. Say, I'm very concerned about this. And believe me, those letters mean more than you think they do, because they really don't get that many letters.
I would imagine.
Not
right,
as many as we think they do.
A congressman really doesn't really pay much attention to an issue such as this, and which really I don't see any other meaning except censorship.
Uh-huh. It's the congressmen a lot of times don't even know about this.
Right.
On
so
any
I,
issue,
I,
you have to be the one educating them.
Right. We should give them the benefit of the doubt that they might actually be interested in doing something about it. You know,
uh-huh.
if they did know about it.
Because I look at this, I look at what the PMRC says, and I just sort of pretend I don't know anything about what I really know about rock music, about teenagers, and things like that, and. Given that kind of a background, it could possibly make sense. So you have to understand, these people that have the power in the FCC and in Congress, they don't have the background that we do. So how do we convey that to them? The only way to do that is through communication, and we have to communicate with them. We have to educate them.
You're exactly right, and communication is definitely the key to everything, because possibly we could understand their point of view if they have one, you know, or if they just automatically, you know, I think we'd get to the root of the issue if they're just being discriminatory against rock music, per
uh-huh.
se, but where, you know, like, what about television? How come no one gets on,
exactly.
Gets on the television where, you know, no, it is very, there's educational channels and stuff like that, but for the most part, what people watch is complete garbage and,
uh-huh.
and is sex, violence. And nobody ever, you know, the PMRC is not saying, oh, we should ban this TV show and this TV show.
Well, it's like I said before, somehow country western things are exempt from all of this.
Yeah,
there's
right.
So much violence.
Country western music. Like all these people who go around calling themselves born-again Christians or whatever, and, you know, they're supposed to be morally correct or whatever, and then on their particular television shows, they play country western music. Now, why is country western music accepted morally, whereas rock music isn't? And what is rock music? How can you define it? What, you know, what time signature is sin, and what time signature isn't sin? Where does, you know, who is going to decide this for everyone?
Uh-huh. Now, I'm very opposed to violence in films. I don't go out and see violent films or watch violent TV shows. Once I went around the dial seeing how long it took for a gun to appear in each of the channels, and it didn't take an evening. it was very... You know, a very quick night there. But
you sure you weren't watching a tape of a stockholders meeting of one of the networks? Just kidding.
No,
just
no.
kidding.
Even the PBS station, well, they were doing a documentary on Nazis, but, you know, they all had guns on them at some point.
Right.
The thing is, I would not go out and prevent a Rambo film from playing at a theater. I mean,
right.
People want to see that kind of garbage. They want to see Dawn of the Dead Part 17. That's up to them.
And plus, if a movie like that makes a ton of money, it gives you an incredible idea of the mental capacity of the people that are all around you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, I object to, you know, to trying to appeal to that part of our humanity that wants to see things blown up and everything. But as far as actually trying to stop it from playing, that's where I draw the line. I would say, you know, maybe we could be a little bit more tasteful about this, but I don't have control. I can't go out and prevent something from being said.
Right. Well, I think the issue is not really preventing something like that, but offering an alternative. And, you know, people they don't have any idea what it means to exercise their freedom of choice, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like, people, not to get really on anybody's case or anything like that, but like, say, people who smoke cigarettes, I mean, they think it's my right to smoke cigarettes, and it's their right to damage themselves and to kill themselves. And, you know, and then they're worried about a bunch of musicians or technicians, as the case may be, standing on a stage making noise, and that's all it is sound. You know? And I'm really, it's just beyond my logical thinking. I just can't understand.
Consider this too: you have people at a large concert where all these you know crazy lyrics and things going on, theatrical shows. I mean, these kids after they see the show, you know, they all hang out together and they you know they enjoy being together and everything like that. I mean, they're pretty tired out after all of that. It's like, you know, 10,000 kids in one place releasing all of this energy. I would think that would be something that the PMRC would like to see, because then they're not going to be going out and robbing 7-Elevens and things like that.
It's true.
You know?
I have to agree with you there, but Can you hold on a second? I have some people here that would like to speak with you, Eric.
Okay, let me give our phone number out, 632-6901, area code 516, talking about censorship and banning music. And
okay, I'd just like to thank you for the time, and thank you to the listeners, and we'll have some USB staff members here at this small gathering that are just dying to talk to you.
Oh, great.
Okay, hold on.
It's one of those gatherings I really wanted to go to, too, but...
Excuse me?
It's one of those gatherings that I wanted to go to, but somehow people always have gatherings on Saturday nights. You know, I think it's intentional. They know I can't make it.
As you know, I, we don't want to talk about what I'm doing and where I am and all that other stuff, but hold on a second, and we'll have some people here, which is, you know, they're very intelligent individuals, and I'm sure they'll have something to say about just about anything you want them to say.
Don't put anyone on who's drunk, okay, because we...
No, nothing like that, nothing like that.
Okay, go ahead.
Hold on a second.
I forgot there was a USB gathering tonight.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that we have them every now and then. Different places, different parts of the world.
That's nice.
Yeah, Madrid next week.
I think... I thought Antarctica next week. Is that 2 weeks
from now? Oh, I'll check my calendar. I might have last year's calendar.
Oh.
632-6901, area code 516. That's our telephone number. Call it. Be on the air. Talk about this important issue. It does affect you. Is anyone there?
Yeah, what's the important issue that we're talking about? I mean, I know I should know, considering it's affecting me, as you said, but what are we talking about?
That voice sounds very familiar.
Hi, Eric. This is Rose,
Rose.
Is a voice from your past.
Rose, that is a voice from my past. Wow. You're back from, what is it, Texas or Florida?
Actually, it's Florida this time, Jacksonville, Florida.
That's amazing. It's great to hear your voice again. You're in radio in Florida, right?
Yes, I took all the knowledge that I gained from working at WUSB in Stony Brook with me on the road, and I have taken it with me to places like Texas and Florida.
Uh-huh. And it's been very well received, I understand.
Well, they haven't kicked me off the air yet,
uh-huh.
but I understand that the voice of Eric Corley is continuing to do what he does best, which is bring out the important issues to the public of Long Island.
Well, yes, this is an important issue, all right. We're talking about censorship on the radio, and the has there been much talk down in Florida of the Parents Music Resource Center?
Yeah, well, basically, Al Gore gets a lot of votes in that part of the country because it's a very Bible Belt part of the country.
Uh-huh.
But he's asked a lot about Tipper Gore, and he gets a lot of trouble about that because that whole thing, I think, has basically gotten more adverse reaction now than positive.
Even in the Bible Belt?
What?
Even in the Bible Belt.
Yeah, even in the Bible Belt.
You'd That's
be
incredible.
Surprised that people are starting to see that now is not the answer, just a blanket censorship in return to the traditional values and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So what have you found in Long Island, Eric?
Well, we haven't been that optimistic here tonight. Unfortunately, we see it as kind of a slime that's moving towards us, and we're trying to, I don't know, build walls or something, or just prevent it from eroding the freedoms we have, because what we've been saying is it starts off with certain kinds of lyrics in rock music, then some people expand it to the music itself, then it gets expanded to the ideas, and pretty soon you can't talk about certain things.
Well, even up here, I mean, there have been problems where they've burned books down in Jacksonville, Florida, and things like that, which I think is absolutely ridiculous, but I thought in this part of the country, in USB territory, that kind of thing didn't happen.
Uh-huh. Well, it's getting closer, just like the killer bees.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's scary, Eric.
It's scary.
You're frightening me. I'm here for a reunion party, and you're frightening me.
Well, it's a sobering occasion.
Now, why aren't you at this party? This is supposed to be sort of a gathering here of USB people, and they're all saying, where is Eric?
Well, now, ask those same people, why do they insist on having these gatherings when I'm on the air? I'm on the air every Saturday night.
Well, maybe you'll get
every Saturday night there's a party somewhere. Every Saturday night these people have these wild parties, and I'm talking wild.
They're in the midst of one
arrest
of them
my
right
case.
Now, and it's just wonderful to be back. I'll tell you what, USB is the greatest station in the nation, and I mean that.
Well, now, are we going to hear your voice on the airwaves here?
Well, you know, I'll be around till Monday. Maybe I'll stop by and try and get together with some of the folks at the station. So
uh-huh.
You sound great. Just keep up the hard work and tell everybody that radio censorship needs to be dealt with, and I'm glad you're handling this most important issue, Eric.
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
Thank you.
And for being in the area. And hopefully I'll see you before you go back.
All right.
Take care, then.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And I guess no one else is speaking from there. Nope, they hung up. 632-6901. 632-6901 is our phone number. Now, this is something that I'd like to get out. It appeared in both Newsday and the Wall Street Journal. the FCC's actual ruling, vague though it may be, on obscenity and indecency, the Federal Communication Commission has said it's acceptable to broadcast on radio and television what it termed indecent programming between midnight and 6 a.m. Now, again, that's very vague. The commission's action was prompted by petitions from broadcasters seeking clarification of what constitutes indecent programming. In other words, what is this? You know, what can we play between 12 and 6 a.m. that we can't play any other time? So far, they haven't really defined that. In April, I believe April of last year, the FCC broadened its definition of indecency beyond the so-called seven dirty words. And that followed complaints about the language on three radio stations, including K-Rock in New York, Howard Stern, of course. And it's incredible, because Howard Stern does this kind of thing on commercial radio, yet it's non-commercial radio that bears the brunt of his actions. He's got the right to do that kind of thing, I think, but it's just kind of ironic. While the commission has established the so-called six-hour safe harbor, hours when it said children would not likely be listening, it did not provide a clear definition of indecency, and so broadcasters once again are urging the FCC to establish specifics. The owner of WXRK, or K-Rock, says this is absurd. That station and a station in Philadelphia simulcast a morning show hosted by Howard Stern, which had provoked the complaints about indecent broadcasting. Officials at CBS and NBC said the action does nothing to clarify the previous April ruling. And switching to the Wall Street Journal, the agency had been threatening to crack down on raunchy programming, but they eased off in a 4-0 vote, saying television and radio stations can broadcast indecent shows between midnight and 6 a.m. when it figures few children tune in. However, obscene shows still are forbidden around the clock. Now, no one knows what these words mean. What's indecent? What's obscene? You know, saying one of the seven nasty words, well, that's going to take a few hit songs out. A few hit songs use those seven dirty words. And so far, the society has held up, despite that obvious attack into the morality. We're obligated to channel indecent speech to times when few children are in the audience, said FCC Commissioner Patricia Diaz-Dennis, who added that 11 p.m. would work just as well as midnight. What does that mean? Does that mean 11 o'clock is okay, too? You know, it's really very hard to figure out what they're talking about. There don't seem to be any guidelines as to what's patently offensive, said Henry Bauman, the National Association of Broadcasters General Counsel. It's still up to broadcasters to guess what's indecent. Now, this is the interesting part. The FCC receives about 20,000 complaints a year from consumers about lewd programs. Indecent material after 10 p.m., and the agency chose midnight as a starting time for adult fare. They carved out a safe harbor and hope broadcasters will operate in it. Then the FCC won't have to look at individual cases. So that's pretty much where it stands, and if it sounds kind of vague and uncertain, that's the way we interpret it here. We really don't know, and it's scary.
It is.
Because what if we violate one of these rules, and we don't know we're doing it?
Yeah.
It's something that a lot of radio stations are concerned with, and if you notice a change in sound, a more conservative approach, that's probably the reason. 632-6901. Area code 516. What?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, go ahead.
It's very nebulous. It adds confusion to concern. I mean, there's concern about censorship in general, and then there's confusion over what is expected to be censored. That isn't even clear. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt the phone.
Well, it's not illegal. It may not be clear, but it's not illegal. So you haven't violated any rules. 632-6901, area code 516. Give us a call. We need to hear what you think about this. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Good evening. You know, it's funny. There's all these people complain about what's going on the radios. There's like two knobs on your radio. One changes the station. The other one turns it off. No one's forced to hear any of these things, which really bothers me.
Right.
Some things that are funny about this, kind of strange, is, well, obscene and indecent. I saw a television show called Invasion of Decency. It was a religious group, pro-censorship. They defined obscenity as a P
appealing to the prurient interest, whatever that means. They didn't elaborate further. And they complained about the play that was played over the radio in California called Jerker, which is a homosexual play, which I don't know, they're afraid the kids will listen to it and become homosexuals, I don't know.
Yeah,
they didn't mention Howard Stern, but they showed up.
It's interesting, if I may interrupt you for a second, to carry that logic forward and simply keep asking why. People say, that's obscene. It can't go on the air. Why? Because it's obscene. Well, why? What will happen? You know, and just sort of carry the argument all the way through. And then the last thing they say will probably be something ridiculous. Yes, like, listening to this will make you into a homosexual. Yes, that's a very good point.
And there's several songs that I've heard on FM radio, on every AOR rock station for 10 years or more, like Who Are You by The Who, which uses that dreaded F word.
Uh-huh.
Who the F are you that Roger says.
Yeah.
There's that Pink Floyd song Money where he goes, don't give me that do-goody-good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There are lots of songs like that. They're hit songs. Even the Steve Miller Band has one with that nasty word in it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the commercial stations may very well continue to play those songs because they've got the money to fight it in court and to get publicity. But who is going to hurt the most? The non-commercial stations and all the other songs that you don't hear on commercial radio that may occasionally use a word like that, because believe it or not, using words like that sometimes helps you express yourself in this day and age. But by not being allowed to broadcast them at all, that's going to hurt a lot of people, the artists, the broadcasters, and the listeners.
When the FCC, they were harassing Howard Stern, they were picking on him because he was talking about having a dial-a-date with Sherry Lewis,
uh-huh.
You know, ventriloquist comedian. And Howard suggested, what about having sex with the lamb chop, which is a hand puppet? And they thought there could be something weird about that, you know, hand puppet sex. It could be a bestiality somehow. And they gave him a warning letter, and, like, nothing ever came of it. They just create a big news story, and nothing ever comes out of it.
Uh-huh.
And they always go after the little guys. They always go after the non-commercial radio stations. They go after people like Jello Biafra when they could go after Ozzy Osbourne or Prince. But they know that Prince has got the money and could fight him in court. Ozzy's got the money. They go after someone like Jello who has to spend the next year touring his lecture circuit and trying to maybe pay his legal bills and wreck his life.
But I think one thing they didn't count on was that Jello Biafra would put it so elegantly and be able to phrase it in such a way that that it makes so much sense and put out an album that a lot of people will listen to.
That's right. And I heard him on WNBC.
Jello Biafra, you heard on WNBC?
The radio station, yeah. He was on the interview circuit. He was doing a show at the Ritz, a live spoken word show,
uh-huh.
And he was on there for like 2 hours giving his points, which is good to finally hear him on some commercial radio airing his views.
That's very good. And we should be. That's another thing that we can press for. We can get people to talk about this kind of thing. And talk radio stations in the city are one good way to do that. I remember hearing, what's her name? Lynn Samuels from WBAI was doing a show on WABC, of all stations, every day last week. And that's an incredible thing to have somebody from a non-commercial radio station actually doing a show on a powerful, clear channel AM station in the biggest city in the country, and to have a chance to actually bring out some issues. Now, she got a lot of hostility, a lot of hostile reaction from the listeners there, which shows how we're living in two different worlds,
mm-hmm.
really. We have to get more into the mainstream and get these ideas out.
Some things are strange that with all of this coming down, you see the barriers being broken in other ways. I see a show on Channel 9, WWOR, it's on after Morton Downey in the news, called The Street, which is it's a cop show, but it's unlike any other cop show ever on television. It's not Starsky and Hutch. It's filmed very cheaply on video, and it follows two pairs of cops, alternates every other day, through Newark. I never see them pull out their guns. They never arrest anybody. They just sort of drive around, and then they eat some donuts, and some weird things will happen, which is kind of interesting in that, but they use many of these seven words, which is wonderful. I sit there and enjoy it every night to hear them say that S word on
uh-huh.
radio and on the television, and which is great. I mean, finally have something like that, which seemed like it's perfect, because without that it wouldn't be real.
Uh-huh.
It's great to finally have that, and I want to see what's going to happen with that. I haven't heard any stink about it, which
is
very strange.
That's interesting. I wonder why television stations are able to do that. I've seen that prison documentary on Channel 11 a few times where they use all kinds of
language. But then, you know, Dr. Ruth, she'll be able to say, you know, penis a million times and orgasm and ejaculation because she's got a doctor there. And
uh-huh.
that's how they usually can slip it in on Channel 13. But this isn't just a straight documentary-type drama show,
uh-huh.
which is very, very different.
Uh-huh.
And it, to see the barrier broken like that is a new step.
I just had a brainstorm here. Why don't we simply invent new words?
They've done that.
Give them the same meaning.
Very, very good point.
Then they'll have to, like, really keep... And if they ban those, then we'll make up more. And then we'll change them to words that are in everyday use. So we'll have to change the entire language around every couple of months.
There's a book called Myra Breckenridge by Gore Vidal, where he substituted new words for all of the dirty words, and he substituted them with the names of the Supreme Court justices who told him he couldn't use these words and were trying to block his book. So, like, Rehnquist was the word for penis.
Uh-huh.
So every time you'd see this, every time I hear the word Judge Rehnquist, I get this vivid image in my mind.
Now, wait, you mean the Supreme Court was actually trying to ban his book?
Well, they're harassing him. They're harassing many authors. This is over 15, 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
There's a radio station that I heard Gerald Biafra on. There's a guy named Alan Combs who's invented a whole list that you can send for, where yippus is the word for penis. He's got all the acts and all the organs.
Uh-huh.
All the words with new lyrics, new symbols, and so it's very colorful.
Well, that's one way to do it. And if you simply walk around the streets of New York or the streets of London, you'll hear all kinds of words that have never made that list because, you know, a lot of people don't know them. And you just simply get a notepad and walk down the street and come up with a whole new vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that's one way to solve the problem. Obviously, it's
more colorful, more interesting.
It's only solving the symptoms. It's not really getting to the root of the matter. But it's one tactic we can use.
Yeah, no one's going to die from hearing these words. I don't want to see what the problem is. You don't say the F word and someone has a heart attack. No one's going to lose a limb or get cancer.
Yeah, well, it's like I was listening to Jello the other night, Jello Biafra, and he said a lot more kids wind up dead through those
Rambo and Top Gun
advertisements for the Navy and the Army and all that kind of thing. A lot more kids wind up dead that way.
That's right.
That's a bit of a political statement there, I realize, but it is true. No one dies from hearing these words.
And what the caller mentioned that when he first called just now about the two dials on the radio where one can change a station or turn something off if they find it objectionable reminds me of a story, if I recollect it accurately. One of the complaints that was lodged, I believe it was in the 70s, with the FCC over what a listener thought was objectionable material being broadcast on a station was, if I remember correctly again, from a listener who heard the program riding in his car with his child. And he felt that his child shouldn't have to listen to this material. Yet, instead of changing the station and turning the radio off, he listened to the entire program with his child still in the car with him. And he did so, justifying it by saying that he had to hear the entire program in order to make a proper complaint to the FCC. Now, take it on the face, take his reason on the face of it, and one could say, okay, let's be fair to him. He wanted to hear out the entire program to get the entire context before he filed the complaint. But there's a secondary question that comes up, which is, if he was objecting to the program, primarily on the basis that a child, I think in this case it was a teenager, would be adversely influenced by the material, why did he let his son continue to listen to the program? In other words, he may have honestly thought that it was up to him as a citizen to listen to the program and make the complaint. But if the basis for it was that as a parent he felt concerned that his son should not hear the program, why did he let his son continue to listen to the program when he found it objectionable? Why didn't he just change the station or turn it off? By his own reasoning, presumably, by this parent's own reasoning in his objection about the program, he exposed his son to the very danger that he was complaining about. And I don't understand the logic of that. And in a way, it's almost comical because it's as if he said, yeah, this was terrible, it was horrible. And then if someone were to ask him the question, well, if you thought it was terrible and horrible, nobody forced you to continue to listen to it, why did you continue to listen to it? And it would be as if he would have to say, well, to make sure I knew how terrible and horrible it really was.
That's what you hear on the Howard Stern Show all the time. People call up. On the other side of the coin is one of the complaints that got him investigated by the FCC was filed by a preacher from down south. And Howard made the joke that must have had a satellite dish to God to pick it up and hear it.
which is that if you, something that you couldn't hear but you just heard about, so it's enough to complain about. Oh, better can't hear it, but get rid of it.
But I'll complain about it anyway. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, go ahead, Derek.
Thanks for calling. We're going to give out the phone number 632-6901, and thanks for your opinion, sir.
Thank you.
632-6901, area code 516. We do want to hear from a couple more listeners. We have about, oh, I guess, about 10 minutes left or so to talk about this. But I have in front of me something from Current Law, the Law in Public Broadcasting, Updating Obscenity and Indecency Rules. During the past year, the FCC has made fresh forays into regulating obscene and indecent programming. While designed to guide broadcasters, these activities seem instead to have increased broadcasters' confusion about what programming may be aired and when. This is a brief attempt to clear up some of the confusion. Broadcasting obscene programming is a criminal offense and is banned at all times. The Supreme Court defines obscenity according to the following criteria: material that an average person applying contemporary community standards finds appeals overall to P-R-U-R-I-E-N-T?
Prurient, I think.
Prurient? I've never used that word in my life.
Oh, it means...
Prurient.
It means salacious... appealing to prurient interests would mean appealing to interests without... I guess it would mean without any redeeming social value would be the definition, where it's purely for titillation purposes.
Okay, well, material that depicts or describes sexual or excretory conduct in a patently offensive way. I didn't know excretory things were such a problem, you know. I don't recall hearing songs about excretory functions that much. I don't know why they're so upset about that. As measured by contemporary...
heavy metal proctologists that...
Contemporary community standards, again, material which, taken as a whole, lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. That bothers me. How can they say that? How can they be the judge of what lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific
value?
Excellent
point.
It sounds like you know, like the Soviet reasoning we hear so much about before somebody's sent off to a camp somewhere. You know,
you're
insane. You don't have any political basis.
Yeah, it's like we'll establish a cabinet post for a secretary of cultural judgment, where, I mean, it what's disturbing is that it about this notion of having to figure out some serious what is it, artistic, political, or social value,
literary, artistic, political, or scientific.
It would tend to constrict the very process that makes all of those different fields, let's say what, literary, artistic, political, social, or scientific?
Uh-huh.
All of those different fields of study or of thought would seem to demand a very broad scope of what's considered scientific value, social value, political value, artistic value, literary value. And I'm enumerating them just because if one thinks about it, it's not really comical because it's frightening, but it is in a way also comical. That some bureaucrat, so to speak, I mean, someone would join some government office, and there's nothing wrong with working for the government, but I mean, it depends upon the context. It's hard to conceive of somebody working for the government in a position where they have to, as part of their job, make judgments that on a day-to-day basis by the very people who work in these fields themselves don't usually presume to make these constricting judgments. I don't think you see one scientist in general trying, who works, let's say, for some research institute, in general trying to shut down another research institute because he doesn't think that their methods are scientific. And that's
well, they criticize, but he doesn't have the right
to stop them.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about here. Our number is 632-6901, area code 516, and we're talking about obscenity and indecency. Says, as with obscenity, the test for indecency is arguably imprecise and vague. For instance, use and repetition of specific words or depictions. In context, specific words or depictions may be shocking or vulgar. However, the FCC has confirmed that it cannot list any particular language or material that will always be found indecent. Similarly, isolated or fleeting references or an occasional off-color reference or expletive may not present a legal problem. However, repeated lewd references to subjects such as male genitals Why just male genital? That's interesting. Masturbation, intercourse, sodomy, or the repetitious use of shocking or vulgar words would be actionable. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah. You guys were talking about Jello Biafra, and if you listen to Jello Biafra, I guess you know this. The same people that are trying to censor our music and stuff like that are the same people who think that the Star of David is a symbol of Satan.
Yeah, we were mentioning that before. They point to that on a record album and say that's devil worship. I don't know how they managed to do that.
It sounds downright anti-Semitic, actually.
Yeah. Do you listen to a lot of music?
Yes, I listen to a real wide variety. Bad English there. Anyway, but the thing is, how come these people can listen to like 106 WBLI and listen to their wonderful music about how great the world is? And I can't listen to Jello Biafra tell me about what's really going on in life.
Because your music is making you think about relevant things. Now, if you listen to the songs on commercial radio, like Jello Biafra says, they only can deal with a certain amount of set subjects, such as the falling in love and how nice the world is and maybe, you know, something funny about a car or something like that. But it doesn't really go any further than that. And if you start singing about maybe fascist governments in Chile, well, that's going to be a cause for concern, because you could potentially think about that some more and maybe write a letter to Newsday about it. And then more people will see it, and then, you know, before you know it, it's all out of control.
I mean, this is a violation of our right. I mean, they gave this to us. The forefathers in their infinite wisdom gave us this right, and now they're trying to take it away.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, the parents sit there and go, oh, our children, their children are going to be hurt more by the bomb that falls on them, by something that they hear over the radio. Why don't people try to go for stuff that you can go on the street in New York City, and you take your child on the street in New York City, he's going to hear a million and one things that he's never heard before if he's young or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And there's always going to be that. And it's a form of expression. How can that hurt someone? Isn't that kind of escapist to say, well, if he doesn't hear it on the radio, he won't hear it anyplace else, and therefore he won't be harmed? He's not going to be harmed. It's
no more than going through a library and reading a book by accident or something.
You could take it to the extreme and say if a government official hears someone using a bad word on the street, does he shut down the entire street?
Now, that would be something. let's write a story about that. You know, incident on 51st Street or something.
I mean,
somebody said the S word, and we're not letting anyone off the street until we find out who it is.
So can you imagine turning on a hypothetical traffic report one morning and being told the 51st Street is closed between 2nd and 3rd Avenues, let's say, because of
cussing.
Of cussing.
Here's an interesting idea. All names of people who are enemies or, who did things against America, longer able to be said. Therefore, Benedict Arnold can no longer be said over the radio.
Mm. Ooh.
That. But why don't... I've called it a lot, and I've always sort of focused on nuclear arms and stuff like that, because I'm kind of paranoid about that. And
I don't think you can be too paranoid about that, but go ahead.
Why do people completely ignore? I mean, Jello Biafra, I keep on going back to him, but plenty of other people point out in music about nuclear arms. Why doesn't anyone do anything about that? Why do they have to concentrate this mass amount of money in something like where it could be used for something that would actually help others?
Well, that's an age-old question. You know, why don't we use money for things that will benefit us? And it all boils down to our interpretation of what benefits us and what doesn't benefit us. It's not something that we can answer without talking about it for many more hours.
I think this whole right-wing thing that the country's gone in, I think, has kind of helped to bring out the left-wingers.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I would say it's united people a little bit more when they see how crazy things can really get. And you know, like the crazy people Reagan tried to appoint and fortunately didn't manage to, it's kind of brought out people.
Well, this, I guess it's going to end, because from what if you look at history, it's all a cycle, and it all goes backwards and forwards. And, you know, there's probably going to be a point where there's going to be something like the 60s and free cultural.
Well, I don't know if it's fair to say it'll be like the 60s. It'll be like nothing else, hopefully.
It'll be like let's say, the 2010s or whatever.
Yeah, but every decade should be unique. I mean, unfortunately, the 70s, I don't think, were that unique, and so far the 80s haven't been that great. But who knows? You know, the time will come when something happens, and people will realize things that are going on, and it will be different. It won't be the 60s. It'll be something else.
Mm.
Okay, thanks very much for calling.
Sure.
I guess that's just about it for the phone calls we can take. Jim, do you have any parting remarks here before we go into the indecent hour?
Just, I think it's important to keep in mind that if somebody wants to censor something, that they give it a lot of thought, because something that one individual does not like, that individual wants to see censored, may make that person happy just to see that one thing censored. But once one starts censoring one thing, that individual should realize that something that they like might be the next thing that's censored, and that might be another way to look at
it can very question. Quickly get out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And control is one thing that is a very dangerous concept, because when you start controlling ideas and words and songs and music, it's open to interpretation, and you have to put a lot of trust into the person that's doing the final
mm-hmm.
the final judging. And, you know, the PMRC, they're a bunch of nice ladies, it looks like, but I wouldn't trust them with my moral judgment, with my moral values. I mean, I wouldn't really trust anybody with that. That's really up to me, and I don't need to be dictated to. And that's how I was brought up. That's how I believe everyone in this country is being brought up. Those are the basic values that we're taught,
mm-hmm.
not at birth, but shortly thereafter. And I hope this is something that our listeners, I believe by the volume of calls we received tonight, our listeners do realize the importance here. And what we have to ask them to do is keep abreast of the situation. Write letters to the papers. Write letters to your congressman. Talk to your parents about this. I mean, maybe your parents think there's some merit in what the PMRC is saying. If you present an argument saying otherwise, who knows? You might actually make some kind of a difference in the way at least some people feel. Talk about it with your friends. And above all, listen to the radio and see if you notice a difference. See if things are changing and keep on top of the situation. That's really all we can do at this point. Now, we'll be back again next week talking about this, and hopefully by then we'll have found the Jello Biafra record and we'll play a little bit of that. This is an issue that is upon us. We didn't ask for it. It's here now. And it's something that we have to tackle. We have to continuously talk about until we know where we stand. What is obscene? What is indecent? Is there censorship on the radio? And are records being prevented from coming out because some people think they might be offensive? And what can we do about it? That's, you know, it's really at that stage right now. We don't have, you know, clear-cut answers or anything like that. So, Jim, I want to thank you for coming by. I want to thank the callers for calling in. I'm Eric Corley. I'll be here again next week with another edition of Brain Damage. Coming up next, I believe, is Bob Lowen filling in for the brothers. And in 3 minutes, we'll be able to be indecent again. But I don't know if we'll exactly do that. But it's something to consider. 11:57 here on 90.1 FM WUSB in Stony Brook. See you again next week.
The lunatic is on the grass. Remembering games, daisy chains, flops. Got to keep the loonies off the pot. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their bonnet faces to the floor. every day the paper boy greets more.
Bye. Lord.